My name's Dr. Neil Smith. I'm executive chairman of Canabo. We've presently been trading for about a week on the venture, and our symbol is CMM on the venture exchange.
So, Neil, welcome to the Stockhouse / Equity Guru CoPro podcast. Your company, Canabo, has been on the exchange for a little while now. If you could explain to somebody who's never heard of your company and what you do, give them the 30,000-foot view.
Sure. So sometimes it's easier to say who we're not. Obviously, there's licensed producers or growers in this space. There's those. There's also dispensaries. What we are, we're neither of those. We're actually a series of clinics. We have 10 operating clinics nationwide. We were started by physicians. We're run by physicians. And all of our patients have been referred to us by other physicians. So we have 10 operating clinics nationwide. That number will increase to 14 within the next 90 days. We have over 40 licensed physicians working with us currently, and that number is increasing all the time. We have about 13,000 patients that we've seen since we started, and that number is currently increasing at a rate of about 1,000 more every month. Patients who come to see us are referred by their family doctors, as they pay no fee to the clinic to come see us. What that means is that every patient who's seen in our clinic, we can build a provincial government of that particular province, fee, just like any other physician would bill a fee. Physicians working in our clinic are comprised of, many of them are family doctors, but some are specialists as well, such as anesthetists with perhaps a background in chronic pain, psychiatrists who may have a background in anxiety disorders, and all of these physicians work in our clinics. And as I say, our patients are referred by other physicians, often family doctors, but sometimes if they're, say, an anesthetist working in a chronic pain center who has very little experience in prescribing medical marijuana, they may refer to one of our anesthetists in our clinic. Physicians are trained with our proprietary training system, and as such, our physicians are very consistent in terms of how they prescribe, and we want physicians referring to us to understand that regardless of whether their patient is seen in St. John's, Newfoundland, or Calgary, or Edmonton, or Toronto, we have a very conservative, sensible approach to prescribing medical marijuana. As well, when patients are seen by our physician, prior to coming to clinic, they have to answer a myriad of questions, and it's really that data that we want so much to help understand the medicinal value of medical marijuana. And so patients go through a series of questions, and we obtain as many as 400 data points that we're monitoring on patients we see. Not only do they answer several of these questions prior to coming to clinic, but subsequent follow-up visits, each time they come back, we're updating that data set and getting a better sense of what's going on. As well, we have a national call center. We always planned on scaling this up, and we've looked for ways to improve our efficiency with flow through of patients right from the inception of the company. So when patients are seen, they're seen in our clinic. They've already answered questionnaires. They see an intake person who records a bunch of the information that we need to know about the patient, their past history, what medications they've been on, what their diagnosis is. And then when they see a physician, it's a very structured, efficient visit, and because our patients pay no fees, our physicians are able to simply practice medicine. There's no obligation to provide a patient with the script because they've paid for it when they come in. They simply get to practice medicine. As well, because we're not affiliated with any individual licensed producer, then there's no incentive to the physician to give the patient a prescription or a prescribe to a particular licensed producer or to prescribe a significant quantity. They simply get to practice medicine, and that makes our physicians working in our clinics very comfortable, and it makes them realize that they're on side with the College of Physicians and Surgeons, which is an important issue for physicians.
For sure.
They never they never want to be seen as taking a perceived kickback. Mm-hmm. And this keeps them on side with the College of Physicians and makes it a very comfortable place to work, which increases our recruitment and our ability to recruit physicians. So that's what our clinic is in a nutshell.
That's a fairly big nutshell. There'd be a lot of perception out there in the market, you know, when they see that you have clinics. The instant feeling is to go to a place of, oh, so they're not dispensaries, but they're referring patients to LPs and getting some sort of a feedback. But it's interesting that you've gone the other way and basically said, look, this is supposed to be an essential medical service and not a means for a doctor to make a nice little side bet. I have a doctor that I asked him, he's very progressive, you know, he loves taking medicine away from people. And I said, you must be prescribing a lot of cannabis. And he said, no, I'm not prescribing any because I don't have the data to be able to tell me what I should prescribe for what illness, how much, how it is going to affect someone in their 30s as opposed to their 50s. And I don't want to be that guy that's getting 500 phone calls a day from people who want to pay $200 for a script. So what you're doing looks like it's an essential thing for this industry to actually grow.
Absolutely. And we've always thought that because this industry has been, this area of medicine has been illegal, people don't have the research. And if there's one thing that physicians currently coming out of medical school practice and is reinforced to them is what's called evidence-based medicine. And so they're looking for evidence regarding what they're prescribing to validate why it is they prescribe it. But the evidence hasn't been there in this area because we simply haven't had the research. And we see ourselves as being at the frontier, not just of only just providing very good conservative professional medicine in a professional looking clinic, but we also see ourselves as obtaining data that can then lead to sensible hypothesis that can then turn into reasonable research. And our database we feel is quite robust at this point, but we feel like within 10 to 12 months, we're going to have a significant enough database that we can really look at doing a variety of research. We already see a lot of trends even now in terms of the research that we have, and we have a statistician, a PhD statistician working with us, Andrew Davies from Acadia University, who's already telling us some of the trends that he's seen and some of the research opportunities that are available for this. So we're really quite excited about it. We also feel, you mentioned the physicians not feeling comfortable with this area of medicine, and we really feel that we offer a great service. You know, the physician who says, look, I see a guy who comes in, I've been prescribing him opioids for his chronic back pain for the last 2 years, and he's coming in saying, I'm just not getting better, doc. What should I try? And for the physician without any training or background in this area of medicine who wonders about the legalities of it and recognizes how does that, you know, I don't know enough about this to prescribe, we offer a great service because we're a clinic that physicians realize are not obtaining any kickbacks, you know, from any particular LP. It's not designed that way. And so physicians feel comfortable sending that patient to us and saying, look, these guys know about this. How about we send you to somebody who really understands this area of medicine and who I trust? And that's where we want to position ourselves. In terms of our revenue streams, we essentially have three. Because we're being referred by physicians, all of our patients, we can bill the provincial government for the service of seeing a patient, just like any other physician would. And if you came into our clinic, you wouldn't know whether it was a medical clinic for family medicine or any other specialty. I mean, it looks very, very professional. Mm-hmm. Our second revenue stream is simply collecting this data. And we have people who pay an annual subscription rate, such as licensed producers, to say, I'd like to know, you know, some of your top-line data information that tells me how I'm positioned in this particular area, such as chronic pain or anxiety disorders, and I want to know how I'm doing. Well, we can provide that top-line data. If an LP wants something more significant, how do I compare with my competing companies? Can you give me a breakdown of what percentage of your referrals go to me versus other people in this area? Mm-hmm. We can provide that, but there's an additional cost to it. And so that subscription is very valuable to LPs. What we're also finding, however, is that other organizations are coming to us, such as an example, the MS Society. And if the MS Society says, we want to do a research project on patients between the ages of 40 and 60 who have MS, who are willing to enroll in a study on medicinal marijuana and its benefits in terms of any number of factors, say quality of life and improved quality of life, mm-hmm. we have those patients available, and they can come to us, and we can say, well, we have those 50 patients, whereas if they went looking for those 50 patients, it may take them a year to find them and cost them a significant amount of money to get those patients. And then as well, we're seeing patterns such as decreased opioid use as one example. And we've seen as many as 25% of patients in a certain subset are completely off opioids by having them take instead medicinal marijuana over the course of a year and decreasing their opioid use. That sometimes translates into a significant cost savings for the insurance company. And the insurance company obviously is very interested in that data and research along those lines as well. So that, we feel, is really going to be very valuable in the future, and we're really positioning ourselves as a group that is going to be at the forefront of research, and it certainly will have the data to support a variety of studies moving forward.
So it's almost a tech company rather than a marijuana company, or a tech health outfit. No, it's I think what's interesting is that because you're in a situation where doctors are referring patients to you, I'm assuming that medical records for those patients come with them, so that you're not just getting, you know, Joe says he's got a bad back, but Joe's had a bad back for 3.5 years. It's this vertebrae and this vertebrae that's the problem. He's been using this for so long. It's done this to him, rather than just, you know, Joe wants to smoke.
Yeah, absolutely. And the referral that we get that Joe wants to smoke, we'll simply send that back and say, this isn't really the type of medicine that we practice.
Got it.
We also don't want to taint or dilute our database. We want these to be real patients mm-hmm. with real chronic medical conditions who aren't looking to get high. They're looking for an improved quality of life. And mm-hmm. we want to be part of that because we think it's a good thing for the patients. But we also see that if this industry is going to continue and thrive, then it has to be with the support of research that validates what we're doing. And mm-hmm. so we're really looking into that because we feel that we have already developed one of the most robust database in the industry, and we're looking to grow on that. And we think within a year we'll have a large enough database that will be open to a myriad of potential research opportunities. And we're already getting calls regarding that, and we can recognize the value of that. The third, I'll mention one third revenue stream, which is independent medical evaluations. So one of the things I'll give the example of the insurance industry once again. So we're getting calls from insurance companies that are saying, look, there are a bunch of physicians out there who are getting paid for scripts. So the patient says, I want 8 to 10 grams of marijuana per day. And we know that that's offsides for just about anything. And so insurance companies are coming to us and saying, does this make sense? And we're saying, no, it doesn't. And based on our experience, it doesn't. So insurance companies are asking us to do a case-by-case look at independent medical evaluation. So we'll see that our physicians will see the patient, assess them, and say, based on my experience, which I have a lot of, this patient should be getting a gram a day. Well, that could represent a $70, $80 a day savings for the insurance company. And many of the insurance companies that we've started to do these studies, these independent medical evaluations for, we're asking them, do you have more of them? And they're telling us, in many cases, hundreds or even thousands of them. And as you can imagine, the cost savings to the insurance company is huge. and their willingness to pay for those independent medical examinations are also significant. And these represent some of the biggest margins in terms of the profitability of our company. So we're really excited about where this is going. We're still at the very early stages, but that's information which is extremely valuable. Companies are coming to us saying, hey, will you help us develop a workplace program so that patients that are at work for us and presently have been prescribed medical marijuana, we know that if there's 10 guys driving forklifts around the area and four of them are on medicinal marijuana, we know what policies we need in place to protect us against liabilities. And that is becoming more of an issue as well, and workplaces are concerned and they're coming to us. WCB is coming to us. So there's that third area of sort of independent medical evaluations and development of programs for companies is also a growing area. It's still in its infancy, but from what we've seen so far, it represents some of the biggest margins in our overall plan.
So as marijuana use becomes more and more mainstream, and there's no question that's what's going to happen, and we get to a place where mainstream producers of groceries and health products start looking to incorporate it into existing things, the ability to go to a company like yours and say, all right, what are we supposed to use here? Like, how are we supposed to develop our banana bread with CBD in it? You know, yours would not only be a company that could advise them, but could also bring them actual data to say, like, this is probably the strain you should be using, or this is how much should be in there.
Absolutely, without question. And that's really where we want to position ourselves, is leaders in research in this particular area of medicine. Mm-hmm. So, no question.
So when your doctors are prescribing, what are they actually prescribing? Are they prescribing the flower, or are they going to oils, et cetera?
Oils have certainly come up significantly. We've probably gone from about 10% a couple months ago of oils up to about 50% of oils. So it's certainly an area that's growing. Other patients will prefer the vaporizers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thus far, none of the licensed producers out there have gotten into edibles, but we have an educator in our clinic to talk to patients, because many of our patients are novel users. They're not patients who are, like I said, looking to get high. They're patients that say, look, I've got this chronic illness. I want to improve my quality of life. And I think this is a way I can do this, but they don't have the background or education. So our educators will go through the different varieties, the different strains, based on the prescription. The prescription that the patient gets provides some parameters, you know, a level of THC, a level of CBD, and our educator then goes through the different strains they can order, which licensed producers we've had good success with in terms of the reliability of getting the product and other issues, but the patient ultimately decides which licensed producer they want to go with. Then the educator will go through the different ways that they can ingest it, how it's ordered, how it's stored, the legalities of it, whether they can drive, whether they can work with this in their system. Mm-hmm. And so all of that, because many of our patients are novel users, and I think as it becomes legalized and less stigmatized, what you're going to have is a lot more of these users, but novel users that want to consider this as a therapeutic option, but within the context of their overall medical care. And so we really present ourselves as a resource to their doctors to say, hey, if you don't know about this or you're not comfortable with it, we want to work with you, and with the understanding that we're going to liaison with you about your patient's care, much like any other specialist would. We provide quick feedback and letters back to the physician. We prescribe in the context of what the patient has used before and hasn't used for their particular ailments, and we do all of that with a thorough understanding of the medicinal value of the medical marijuana, but with a real ambition towards improving that knowledge base through our database and through research. And as people want to do research, we're going to explain to them there's a cost to them to do that, but we also want to be partners with them and be seen as a leader in the advancement of this science. So we're going to look for, you know, to co-author these papers and be involved in them in any ways we can.
Mm-hmm. So over the last couple of years, there's been several companies, actually more than several companies, lots of companies that have said that they're going to do clinical trials. So they're spending some money on research. They've got a laboratory with a couple of machines that go ding. But at the bottom of it all, always seems to be the reality that it's not really research. It's you know, a little bit of anecdotal evidence of maybe what their patients like. For a real trial to go forward, you need a lot of bodies, right? You need to have a lot of background information. You need to have a surety that people will stay a part of the program. And it sounds like that's what you have in spades.
Absolutely. And our patients, when we see them, we explain to them that we want to see them. We want to get them on a program that's good for them. But we, like any other specialist, we want to follow them. So we'll often see them back monthly until they're comfortable with what they're taking. And then it may be 3 months and then 6 months and a year. But this is really the type of medicine that we practice. And it's consistent with other specialties. I myself have a background as a head and neck surgeon. And when I see a patient for cancer or any number of ailments, they know that I'm going to continue to follow them, and we want to provide that same quality of care, which not only is good medicine, but it also supports a more robust database.
Mm-hmm.
And that information and that progress and how we see changes in the patient give us a lot of insight into what might be a really good study for us. And we already have some. We've already seen some trends in the data that we have. Like I've mentioned, 25% of a certain subgroup had a completely were off their opioids within a year. We've seen a 25% reduction in benzodiazepines among a certain group with anxiety disorders. We've seen a 36% faster return to work for many patients for certain groups with chronic back pain. So we're seeing these trends. As well, if anybody wants to do research, you go before a research, usually an ethics board, it's called, at a university, if you want this to be reputable and valued. And if you go before a research board and say, I want to enroll 50 patients who have MS in a study to see whether cannabinoids will be helpful for their treatment, most ethics board would say, I'm never going to put 50 patients in harm's way.
Yeah.
Well, we can say, look, we've already got these patients in our clinic. We're treating them, and here's the data to show that they've had an improvement in quality of life. Now what we want to do is a forward-looking, or what we call prospective randomized controlled study. And that's really what medicine values. But we can go to the research committees, the ethics boards, and say, we already can show trends in this area, which would support further research. We have a willing population who've expressed an interest in being in these research studies. And then a research or an ethics board would be hard-pressed to deny you that.
Yeah.
So we're not just pretending to get data to put a nice face on our industry. We really want to be into big data because we think that is the only way that this industry will be sustainable and will advance as a legitimate area of medicine that we feel it is.
And you have partnerships already with existing LPs, right? I know you've got a deal out there with Canopy, for example. I know that there are several LPs that have been working hand in glove with you, I'm guessing, both to provide data but also to bring data back.
There are. Now, to say that we're working with LPs would be a bit of a stretch. There are certainly LPs who have expressed an interest in our data, and some of those LPs are simply looking for top-line data and will pay a subscription fee for that.
Right.
Other LPs have expressed an interest in actually doing a study or doing some studies, and we're in consultation with many of these LPs because they, like us, realize that the key to this industry continuing and thriving is really to validate it, and the way we validate it is with research.
Sure. So you're basically doing with marijuana efficacy what Yelp does with restaurants. You know, the more people you have putting data in, the better the data coming out.
Absolutely. Yeah. No. Definitely. So yeah, we really feel that that this business model is something that in many ways is unique to us, because it's always been at the forefront of what we've wanted to do. And so we have information from our very first patient, and a lot of information from the inception of the company. And we also want to be seen as the experts in terms of quality of care, a conservative, sensible approach to prescribing, and that will continue to get the patients in and continue to get the support from our colleagues.
And as the industry moves to a place where insurance companies just stop questioning whether or not they should be working with cannabis, they're going to need to do business with companies like yourself that don't have a conflict, you know, that aren't trying to send people to one LP or a thread that they own the rights to, or, you know, they're going to need to work with companies that are medical first and that prove everything out before they actually, you know, push anything forward.
And if you look at opioids as an example, there are some real concerns currently regarding opioids. There was a position statement, I believe it was last week, by the Canadian Academy of Mental Health Professionals, saying they want guidelines put on prescribing opioids, or they want to restrict who can prescribe these, because they recognize this is addiction in this area is becoming a real issue, and perhaps medical marijuana can help with this issue. Insurance industries, as you mentioned, also see value in terms of what we're doing, because in many cases it represents not only a better therapeutic option, but in many cases a cheaper one as well. And we're already seeing some trends in that area from our data that I'm sure will be hot, you know, issues for the insurance industry moving forward, as ways they can save money and at the same time not compromise care. But to prove that, they have to have the research, and that's where we come in.
So a lot of public companies in areas such as yours would look to expand their reach by acquiring others. Is there anyone in your field right now that even sort of stacks up as an acquisition target? I know there are a lot of pain clinics out there, but more often than not, they're a case of, yes, you have pain, okay, let's send you to the LPs. There's not a lot of data coming forward. Where do you sit in terms of that?
Yeah, there certainly are companies out there with clinics, some of them who at face value seem to have more clinics than ours. But when you look into it, I would warn people that if you see a clinic a company that says they have 27 clinics, some of those clinics may not see a patient, may see a couple patients a month. Mm-hmm. Ours are actually all real bricks and mortar locations. They're not shoehorned into other clinics. They're actually true working clinics where there's physicians there every day of the week. So the first thing I would say is, if you're comparing apples and apples, that's one thing to consider. But we recognize that there are indeed other clinics and some companies with multiple clinics that could be great acquisition targets in terms of increasing the throughput of patients.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, because we don't have baseline data on these patients, we don't have data from the first time that they came in. The actual value of the patients in their database thus far is less valuable than new patients on a go-forward basis. So,
it'd be like taking their patients from scratch, basically.
Right. And those are the patients that are of most value to us.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, as I say, unless we find clinics that are dealing with more of the chronic medical conditions that we're dealing with, the other sort of recreational user really dilutes the whole value of our database. And we're very protective of that because of the value that we know that it's going to have going forward. So if we can find clinics, and we're presently looking, if we can find clinics where we feel, hey, they practice the right type of medicine, maybe they don't have the data, the baseline data that we need and the 400 data points that we look at, but we know that by acquiring that clinic, we can increase the number of patients that we're enrolling on a go-forward basis. So there absolutely are acquisition targets out there. but they're certainly not the John's Pot Shop of the industry.
Sure.
Legitimate clinics.
Right. You're not going to go buying any vape brands or anything like that.
No.
Do you feel that, although there's a real swing towards the marijuana sector right now with investors, do you feel like maybe the fact that you're touching on marijuana almost pulls back a little bit in the market? Like, it sounds like you'd be a great biotech company, but that you have to sort of deal with the fact that you're marijuana related.
I'm not exactly sure what you mean in terms of the...
In terms of investor sentiment, there's marijuana investors and there's biotech investors, and there's not a lot of crossover in the Venn diagram, you know?
Well, you know, it's very interesting because we've met and we've done a couple road shows in the last 3 weeks to Toronto and Vancouver, and what we're finding is that institutional investors are actually... incredibly smart in this space. I mean, there are a lot of big companies that are looking to invest in this, but what we present is something that we feel is sustainable, and they can see that. If you invest in a series of clinics that are doing that are getting kickbacks for their mm-hmm. physicians or from LPs, sure, they may make a lot of money right now, but it's a bit of a house of cards, and people realize that that's going to fall down. As well, the licensed producers, as you know, have had a huge run in terms of value, and people, you know, many of the investors that we met were sort of concerned, okay, well, that segment may be a little overinflated, it may not, mm-hmm. it may keep going, but what we represent is a new era. We represent clinics first and foremost, and most of the people, most of the investors that we've met and the brokers that we've met are very educated, and they understand what separates us, and they do understand that perhaps we're more of a biotech play, like you say, mm-hmm. than a medical marijuana play, but the sentiment is so positive in this area, and there's so much interest in medical marijuana. So that gets them interested, and then when they hear how it is that our company is different from anyone else, that's when we really, you know, that's when our pitch really takes off, and people
For sure.
need to get what it is that we do. So I think that there are enough people right now with an interest in medical marijuana that we see people from every area of investing coming to it, and we really present, I think, a very palatable option, a very positive way of looking at this, and with real sustainability. You know, I'm a head and neck surgeon. If I prescribed a medication and said, I want you to go into the next room with my nurse educator, and she's going to tell you how to take this medication, and for that, Merck, the maker of that medication, or GlaxoSmithKline or Pfizer, mm-hmm. is going to send our clinic a check, and me as the doctor is going to take some of it, maybe our clinic's going to take some of it.
Right.
Yeah, that may make a lot of money right now, but if I did that in any other area of medicine other than medical marijuana, the College of Physicians and Surgeons would shut me down within a heartbeat. And so that we know is going on in a lot of clinics, and that's not a sustainable model. So
right.
investors are looking for something that's sustainable, has great potential moving forward, and is ethical, and really seems to be providing a service that maybe isn't there, but it will be incredibly valuable in the future.
For sure. Let me just quickly ask you about the finance side of things. Is the company break-even? Is it close to break-even, or is it winning revenues?
We're right about at that point. Some of our earnings are deferred based on our subscriptions, but we're sort of right at that point right now. We did a financing just 40 days ago, I think it was. We raised $3.5 million. We did that raise at 50 cents and we've been trading since we were listed somewhere between 90 cents and a dollar and a bit. So we're mm-hmm. we're going through some of that stock right now. People are taking a quick double, and some people are taking their money and moving away. But we've been very impressed at the buying that's still come in.
It's holding pretty tight. There's a decent volume on it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So we think that anybody who's looking to make a quick double will have. And then I think it's upwards from there. So we feel very confident with how it's trading and where we think it's going to go.
Certainly, if you're approaching or at break even now, I mean, I can only imagine that your costs are going to be slow as your patient numbers increase.
Absolutely, and things like our database, the heavy lifting was at the beginning. The expense was in establishing a database with all the data points that we would anticipate needing going forward. But obviously, adding patients to that database gets cheaper and cheaper the more you add. As well, our independent medical evaluations. You know, I have a background as a physician, and sometimes I'd be approached to do an independent medical evaluation, but it might take me a full day to do it. Now, I'd get remunerated a couple thousand dollars to do it, but it represented a lot of time. And physicians are busy. They don't like doing these. Their days are full, so they have to do them in their evenings. Mm-hmm. Because we have a very efficient throughput system in our clinic where much of the upfront questioning is done prior to the patient even seeing the physician, by the time the patient sees the physician, it's a very focused interaction and very efficient. So we can do independent medical evaluations, for example, we can do one in probably an hour. And that really represents some huge revenues for us, because most insurance companies are used to paying somebody for a day's work to do one of these that we can do in an hour, because we have the infrastructure in place. We have physicians who are quite experienced in this area of medicine. And so, once again, the more patients we see, the more efficient we get. And these revenue streams from our database and our independent medical evaluations actually have the highest margins in our business, while the other patient-physician interaction really is what, you know, keeps us at break even. But these other revenue sources really present significant margins, and the more patients we see, the greater the margins in those areas.
Certainly, having medical records is the toughest kind of data to get. I mean, it's jealously held, and the fact that you're able to get access to it, I'm guessing, while still retaining the security of the patient. But having access to that sort of data is almost unheard of.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that we ask patients when they first come in is, we have two tick boxes at the end of our form, the questions are, can we use your information for the advancement of this area of medicine, keeping in mind that we will be respectful and confidential and adhere to provincial and national standards of confidentiality. And almost every patient says yes. And then we ask the second question, which is, if there is a medical study for which you'd be appropriate for, would you like to be contacted? And once again, most patients say yes.
Sure.
Because patients want to advance this area of medicine. The patients that we see are patients with chronic illnesses that are looking to advance the medicine. And then, you know, there's a motivation for those who have an interest in trials, in being involved in a medical trial, because they think, oh, if I'm in a medical trial, that means I would get my medicinal marijuana for free. And indeed they would. So it's not hard to get patients to say, yes, I agree to both of this. And actually, you know, I'd say without exaggeration that there's probably only a handful of the 13,000 roughly patients we've seen who've had a problem with sharing their medical information. And if they do, that's fine. There's still patients about it. But most are very supportive of what we are doing, especially when we explain it.
Two questions for you. One is, should physicians that are a little bit unaware of what's possible in the space and what they should be prescribing and how they should be doing it, should they contact Canabo just out of the blue and say, can you help me out?
Absolutely, and we are more than happy to provide any education that physicians are looking for. Often, however, many of those physicians who have an interest actually have an interest in working with us, maybe a day or week, and that's the way many of our physicians work. They say, you know, I work 5 days a week. My population is probably, you know, predominantly middle-aged men, and I'm checking their blood pressure and trying to get them to lose weight and quit smoking every day. And I don't say that in a disrespectful fashion, but many family doctors really relish the idea of a day of week in a different clinic, in a different area, evolving area of medicine that's interesting, and we present a very compelling place to come work. It's good remuneration. They can usually make as much, if not more, than they'd make in their clinic. And they get to practice medicine in a new and evolving and exciting area. So many physicians do come and work with us. But for those who simply want a background or a knowledge base in this area, we are more than happy to help in any way we can. We regularly do what are called CME, continuing medical education, in mm-hmm. cities where we're in and in new cities that we go to. And our hope is that we'll get physicians who want to learn more about this area, and whether they feel comfortable prescribing it themselves or they simply want to see that we represent a reputable option and resource for them to send their own patients, we're happy to provide that service. And we get really well-attended continuing medical education events where physicians enthusiastically come out to learn about our clinic in this area of medicine.
Okay. So my last question was, there's a lot of investors in the marijuana space have an eye cast down south to the opportunities in the U.S. Although the laws in each state are different and the federal laws are iffy, are there potential expansion plans for your company down south?
Yeah, we feel right now Canada presents an excellent place for us to start business. We've looked at the U.S. and whether or not there are companies that are similar to us that are focused in the area of research, and thus far we can't really find any. So it's certainly an area that we will consider. We think there's enough low-lying fruit in Canada in the next year that we're really planning our expansion in Canada over the next year to make sure we have a good foothold here. We are, however, being approached by some American research organizations because of our database, asking us if we would do research for them, much as Canadian MS Society or Epilepsy Society or cancer foundations in Canada want this information. We're finding that in the United States, there just hasn't been a company like ours that we can tell that is really pure, more research focused. And so we're getting more than looking at expansion down there. We're getting a lot of American groups that are contacting us interested in our research. And what we're saying to everyone is we think that we will have a robust enough database within a year that we can really entertain a lot of these potential research opportunities.
That's fantastic. It's a heck of a story. It's the sort of story that you hope to see when an industry like the cannabis industry starts to actually flesh out and mature a little bit. And any of those companies that have been around for the last few years, I imagine, are going to have to knock on your door at some point to get access to that data. So now's a great time to be jumping into something that's still got a nice low market cap to it.
Yeah, we believe that over the next year, as we get more of that data and as we're approached by more and more organizations, we think that that's going to represent some incredible opportunities for revenues and revenues with big margins. And as I say, the independent medical exams, because we've developed a very efficient system of seeing patients with very experienced physicians, we think that area of our company has also been expanded exponentially. Mm-hmm. So we're excited. We like our business model. We feel confident in it. And we feel that in many senses we're unique in this industry. And I think that uniqueness is going to be not only a good model for patient care, but a good business model as well.
So that's Canaba Medical, and the ticker symbol is CMM on the Venture Exchange. Thanks for what turned out to be a much longer chat than usual, but there's a lot of stuff to get through, and at the end of it all, it presents a pretty compelling picture.
Well, thank you very much, and we hope you'll look at it. We hope your investors will look at it, and if there are any questions, please feel free to contact us at any time.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for your time, and we'll check in with you again in the month ahead.
Thanks very much. Well, thank you very much, and we hope you'll look at it. We hope your investors will look at it, and if there are any questions, please feel free to contact us at any time.
What's the website where people can find more information?
It is cannabo.com. I'm just going to double-check that because we have... just changed it from the Cannabinoid Medical Clinic, but I think we're Cannabo Medical Corp, actually. I apologize. And if they,
no problem at all.
If they put that in, they can certainly find it.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for your time, and we'll check in with you again in the month ahead.
Thanks very much.